Speaking of Bible, I might need to catch it. All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're working our way through Always Abounding. Always Abounding. And we're going to spending a couple more days, a couple more times in this passage right here. That's a very important passage. We will spend the day and probably the next 2 weeks, well, actually next week, then we'll do Palm Sunday, and the week after that, Easter, and we'll come back. And then we got the, we got the Bible conference, and then there's Palm Sunday, and then there's Easter, I think it is. But anyway, got lots going on, but we want to hang on to this here. 2 Peter, beginning, I'm going to go ahead and read from verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1, and hopefully this passage becomes part of who you are. Years ago, I preached through this passage, and then I've mentioned it many times, certain portions of it over the years. This is a very important passage. I told you before, this is my life's verse is Psalm 1, but we're actually going to quote, we'll see something here from Jeremiah that sounds a lot like Psalm 1 today. And this passage here is kind of like the practical directions on how to live by Psalm 1. And so, so help me. This is the way I live my life. I can't say I've always been perfect. I'm human. But this is the way it's been my goal to live my life like this for many, 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 many years. And I mean, I'm talking when I was just a young teen. This is where I wanted to be. And so I want you to listen to this. So we got chapter 1, verse 1 of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Simon said, I'm just a guy. I was saved like everybody else. I need to be saved. I'm just a servant. Now, if you remember what Peter was early on, Peter was a mess. Peter always putting his foot in his mouth, actually changing feet. But he was always outspoken, kind of knew it all. And as he spent time with Jesus, he realized he doesn't. And he realized, you know what, I'm just a servant. I'm a sent one of Jesus Christ. But it says, to those who obtained just like me, precious faith, obtained, it's been given to me. Not because of not by works of righteousness which I've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then he says, this is what I want to happen in your life. Number two, grace and peace to be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus, and Jesus our Lord. He says, I want grace. I want the miracle working power of God to be multiplied, to abound, to be in abundance in your life. And that's what we're going to talk about, how to get that in abundance in your life. Now, if the grace of God is in abundance in your life, the miracle working God, God's working in your life. You see him doing some, taking care of things that you can't take care of, heading things off, protecting you. You see the grace of God, you're going to have a peace that passes understanding. So he says, I want grace and peace to be in abundance in your life. You shouldn't be walking around in turmoil. He says, I want grace and peace to be in abundance of your life. According, verse 3, as his divine power, this all goes along with, this is how it's going to happen, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He says, I'll give you everything you need for the mundane things of life, marriage, raising kids, working, health, whatever it is, finances. He says he'll give you those things. He'll give you the wisdom on how to deal with that. For all those things, and godliness. That's what it tells you, and how to think like God, how to be like God, how to live like God, how to live righteously. And he says, how's that going to happen? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And when we talked about the knowledge of God, he's not just talking about knowing things. For instance, I could give you all the stats about my wife, you know, how much she weighs and how tall she is. Now, I'm smarter than that. But I look at how much she weighs and how tall she is and how old she is and, you know, what year she graduated from high school or birthday and the year she graduated from college the first time and years she graduated from college the second time and the third time and all those kind of things. I can give you all those stats, and I can write that all down, but that doesn't mean you know her. There's a lot of folks who can give you all the stats about some famous baseball player. You know, you could tell him how many runs in, he had this, and what his batting average was, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and never met the guy in your life. You can know all about them, but that doesn't mean you know them. And so he's talking about here, we need to know that, have a knowledge of God. That means spending time with him, an intimate knowledge of God. That's how the divine power gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness as we get to know him inside and out. Verse 4, whereby, according to these things, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We talked about that last week. You've become a new person on the inside. I know I'm rushing here because we covered all this last week. So you need to go back and get the video, look at it, get the CD out here, or watch it online on our website. It's all there. He says, you got the divine nature. Watch, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now we'll come back to that. And beside this, going along with all this, here's how we're going to do this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. You're saved, that's good. But there's more to abounding in him. There's more to the victory that you need to do to really have to. Listen, we have victory over death when we receive Christ as our Savior. We're going to heaven. If you know Christ, your Savior, you're going to heaven. Nothing's going to stop you. God knew all about your problems before he ever saved you. When he was dying on the cross, that song we sang last week, he knew you, yet he loved you. Okay? He knew you. He died for you. He knows all about that. But the fact is, we can have victory in this life, victory over our past, victory over our habits, our addictions, our shortcomings, all these kind of things, victory in our homes, victory in our families, victory in our marriage, victory at work. We can have all that because he's given us everything we need through the Holy Spirit, his divine nature in us, giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But when we're going to get that, we're going to have to add to our faith virtue, verse 5, knowledge, temperance, patience, the patience, godliness, the godliness, brotherly kindness, the brotherly kindness, charity. 4, verse 8, if these things be in you and abound. So you can't just take a little bit of it. These be in you and abound. They make you that you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now I'm going to go back to verse number 4. In the verse number 4, he says that we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. That's what I want to talk about today. There's a lot of things that we have hurts in our lives that we have brought on ourselves. You can say, well, I didn't do anything. Listen, just trying to live by myself without abounding in the Word of God will cause me to fall into great hurts, harm, messes, troubles, heartbreak, tears, destruction, ruin of relationships and marriages and finances and all these kind of things. He says, listen, he said, I will take care of you, but you're going to have to add to your faith. And so I've given you a precious promise that by these you might be partakers, a sharer, a participant in the divine nature of God, and having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. I'm going to explain this a little bit here. I'm going to talk about escaping the corruption. This is so important for us this morning. Escaping the corruption. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for these great and precious promises. And Lord, we don't have to live under the circumstances. We don't have to be bound by all the chains and the strongholds of this world. We don't have to be bound by our sin. Lord, you came to give us life more abundant. You came to free us from, to set the captive free. And yet so many people think they got saved and then they wonder why they're not being free from their sin. Lord, you said we got free, gives us the freedom in the day we got to go, we cross Jordan and go into heaven. That's okay. That's great. The sin won't follow us there. We'll be able to go to the door of heaven without that sin. They'll let us in. That's a wonderful thing. But Lord, there's so much time between now and then, and we need that victory. And Lord, help me, please. Help me, please, with your Holy Spirit to be able to convey these thoughts here this morning, that folks may change what they're doing here, add to their faith, and see the victory you promised to us. So, Lord, we put it in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Before I go further, I want to give you a definition for corruption. The Bible says we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Corruption simply means loss. It means ruin. It means rot. It means to decay. In other words, you put some coleslaw in the refrigerator, and now it's been a month and a half. It has corrupted. I remember one day my mom took, she had canned peaches, and she had canned more than we could eat. And she pulled up this can of peaches. That was a jar, you know. And she had canned these peaches, and it looked a little funny. But she got them out. It was peach brandy. I'm telling you, that's what it was. And whew, you know, it had corrupted. It was not what it was supposed to be. We, when I was a teenager, the car that I drove around all the time was the one that my dad had. It was a 1972 Chevy Kingswood Estate station wagon. Now, if you remember the station wagons back in the early 70s, they were about a mile and a half long. And I think there was this much room behind the rear wheel. And you just kind of go down the road like this. Just the way it was. Now, the car was nice. The thing would run and run and run and run. But about that time, I don't know what they were making Chevy bodies out of, but they all rotted. They were just rot away. And we didn't have this car very long till there's this little bubble came up right over top of the driver's side door. You get the right there where the door opens up, right on the top of there. And then Dad, being a body guy and a car guy, he kind of dug it out and cleaned it, got the right kind of paint, and thought he had it. I mean, he cleaned it all up. Sure enough, it came back. And then it came back later. And he fixed it a couple times. It came back. Finally, I remember one time, Janet and I, we were with a group. We were waiting to get in. We were going to go sing at this event with this group I was singing with at that time. It was a Christian group. Okay, it was everything was fine. But anyway, we were waiting to take the PA equipment in, but we had a deluge, just rained. It literally came in that hole. And in fact, it started coming in all over the place in that Chevy. The well in the back seat where you put your feet started to fill up. I mean, the other side didn't fill up because it had holes in it and went straight on out. But I said, well, I guess it's about time to get a new car. Why? It has been corrupted. You see what I'm saying? It's been corrupted. Just being in the elements of the world has caused it to go bad, shoot holes in it. Now, wait a minute. The world brings corruption. And we're going to see that here in a minute. But God says, I want you to escape that corruption. I don't want you to have to deal with this corruption in your life. Listen, all kinds of things go into your life. We sin, and we allow things to come into our life. It's going to cause corruption. Listen, if I was at work and some guy, and I was talking about, well, I'm trying to figure out how to fix this little problem with Janet, my wife here, and you know what he would say? Well, just tell her this is the way it is. Done. And I take his advice to come home and do it and deal with it that way. I'll guarantee you I'm going to corrupt my relationship with her. I'm going to shoot holes in my relationship. And people shoot holes in their lives, and they ruin things because of the sin that's within them. We're going to understand. I want you to understand. So that's corruption. Corruption. Now, I don't want to be mean or judgmental, but it seems like the lives of some people are always in a mess. Now, we all have some of this all the time, but it seems to be one crisis after another. Very few things ever seem to fall in place. And I believe that some people now just naturally have a lot of common sense and avoid many of the problems. I think some people avoid them because they just have common sense before they arrive, because they can see what's coming. If they can make certain decisions, they can fix it. However, we cannot foresee everything, and there are some things we just have little or no experience in, and we find it difficult to see where certain things or actions or decisions will lead us. We may have problems. God doesn't. The Lord has a higher perspective. The Lord knows the beginning from the end. The Lord knows the consequences of our decision. By the way, every decision has a consequence. The Lord can give us that wisdom and discernment. The Lord sees through the lies and the deceit of the world and the flesh and the devil, and he can help us see through them as well. In other words, if I will spend time with him, he said, I can escape those problems even if I didn't see them coming. Even if naturally I didn't see this stuff coming, God can give me wisdom so that I can see it coming. Sometimes the wisdom is simply, I'm going to go into my Lord, so to speak. I'm going to simply trust him as my high tower, my shield and my buckler. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to harbor myself in him. And he'll protect me. Now, Proverbs 1. If you want to take your Bibles real quick here, turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1. I want you to see something. The book of Proverbs, we're going to see here in a minute, was written to give us wisdom. In fact, if you read this, you're going to see that the Lord has given us, and by the way, it is inspired word of God. He's given us these wisdom to protect us from the junk in the world that leads us down the wrong path. Now, if we go down the wrong path, you're going to end up where you don't want to go. You know, and of course, we know sometimes you say, well, it's all right. It's not that bad. But you know, I'll tell you what, when you take that path, you always go further than you wanted to go. You always stay longer than you wanted to stay, and it always costs more than you wanted to pay. It's just always it is. Look what it says in Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now here he says, this is what we're going to do. I want you to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple. In other words, you ought to be able to see these things. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, if you're a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto these wise counsels. To understand a proverb. Why? That's what he's going to do. He wants to understand the proverbs and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, how do we start? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, the fear of the Lord, if I'm going to do what God says, I'll be all right. But if I'm going to say, I'm going to listen to it and decide if it's good enough and whether I want to abide it. You don't fear God. You don't know who God is. If that's where you are. He says, if you don't know anything until you fear God, it's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, verse 8, my son, if that's all true, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You know what? The biggest fools start by not obeying mom and dad. Or thinking they're going to get around it. Or let mom and dad think they're obeying, but they're not. Doing things behind their back. That's the first thing that a fool does. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what that means? If they entice me, so it just happened. I couldn't do anything about it. Wait a minute. If they entice thee, consent thou not. Do not give your consent. You know what that means? You get to make the decision. You can't blame it on anybody else. You're making the decision. Listen, you made the decision. You can decide you're going to go with them or not. And he says, son, when sinners, you got folks who you know they're doing wrong, and they say, hey, join with us. Don't go with it. You know why? You escape the corruption that's in the world if you stay away from them. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We will fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread for the sight of in the sight of any bird. If they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So they think they're going to hurt somebody else. They're the ones going to get hurt. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom cries out, cries without. She uttered her voice in the streets. Listen, there's plenty of wisdom out there if you're willing to get it. She cries in a chief place of concourse, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Ah! You want the Lord to pour his spirit out so you can understand truth? Then be willing to be reproved. Be willing to obey. And I will make my words, I will make known my words unto you. Because I've called, and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. Now, God's not really laughing at his calamity. But what is this? You're going to feel like God doesn't care. He's laughing at me. That's the way we're going to feel. He's laughing at me. Listen, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If I'm not willing to repent, I can't expect God to restore. When your fear cometh, verse 27, as the desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear. There's the word choose, their decision. Didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Did you catch it in there? I can escape the corruption that's in the world, the destruction, the ruin, the problems in the world, if I'm willing to obey him and do what he has asked me to do. Or I can live through all the mess and the muck and the mire. How through what? By knowledge of him. Now listen, our passage this morning says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given to us all things to pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. As we are partakers of God's divine nature, we will also experience the escape of corruption that's in the world through lust. Decisions have consequences. That's why we make choices. However, many folks make their decisions not based on the consequences, but based on their own will or their own desires, lusts. They make decisions considering what would most please them in the immediate future without considering what the long-term effects will be on their lives and the lives of others. Now again, sometimes we don't really know, nor how could we know. But God knows, and God is more than willing to spare the regrets of unwise decisions if we will just listen to and learn and obey his wisdom so we don't make those unwise decisions. Now, of course, the more we listen, and the more we learn, and the more we obey, the more of the mind of God we will possess. Also remember, we are not on our own in this. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, giving us everything that pertains to life and godliness. What's godliness? Righteousness. Right thinking, right doing. And if you want much wisdom and much insight that the Lord is willing to give you, then you need to abound in him and in the word of God. And if we want abundance in wisdom and abundance of peace the Lord has to offer, you're going to have to give an abundance of your time and abundance of your energy to abound in the knowledge of the Lord. If all you want to invest in your relationship in the Lord is a little of your free time, as you have time, that all you're going to get is a taste of what the Lord can do in your life. But be warned, you will not be prepared for the crisis in your life when it comes. even if it's just the crisis of when the day you face death, which we will all face one of these days. Are we prepared? Now, remember, a defeated Christian is simply a believer who's not all in. Now, let me give you number one here. I'm going to skip some of these things here from this review. See if I'm going to buy a whole bunch of them here. Here we go, number one. Number one. You can escape the corruption and the decay that's in the world through lust. And we use the word lust. Lust simply means a desire. It means a strong longing for. It's usually for something that's forbidden. Something you know you're not supposed to have, but because you can't have it, you want it. You know what I mean? You probably would be okay without it, but since you can't have it, pride kind of gets in there and says, well, if I want it, I should be able to have it. This is America, you know. And we allow the lust to get the best of us. I mean, you may lust over a piece of cheesecake. You know, you might lust over a particular new car that just came off the, just came on the market or something. You may lust after a person of the opposite sex or the same sex. There's desires that you get into that the lust takes over. Now, the world, the flesh, and the devil is after us. They're attacking us, trying to take us down. They're trying to shoot our lives full of holes. It's corruption. It's decay. It's to rot. My dad, when he sold his fuel oil business, he decided he always liked fixing up cars, and he decided he was going to do that for a living, fix up antique cars. And so one of the first cars he had to do was a fellow that he met up over here at Hershey, the big car show. Some of you know about the big cars over here at Hershey every year. And he was a lawyer from Puerto Rico, had a lot of money to spend, and someone had given him a 1931 LaSalle Roadster. LaSalle was made by Cadillac, and it was a snazzy car. It had a lot of chrome on it. And it had these spotlights that sat on the running boards, and it had these side mount spare tires on the back and a big trunk on the back. Even had a little thing, and rumble seat. You know what I'm talking about? The little seat comes up, okay? Even had a little thing on the side, little door. You open up that door and you slide your golf clubs in there. I mean, it was a snazzy car. And he wanted my dad to fix it. And Dad said, well, okay, that's fine. So they put it on a boat. And Dad went down to Baltimore Harbor to pick up this car. And he saw it coming in on a boat. He said, oh, my soul, what have I done? The thing just kind of looked like it had melted. It had been sitting out along the coast over there, and the salt sea had just about rusted everything on that thing. The fenders, they had these great big, you know how they were back then, the big round fenders that came sloping down the side like that. Well, you could see through them. I mean, it was just lace. And what the salt hadn't rusted away, the termites had eaten. I mean, you know how those cars, they had a lot of wood in the frame and in the body and so forth, and they were kind of built, and they put the sheet metal around and so forth. It was just a mess. And he went looking for new fenders and all this kind of stuff. He just couldn't find them. Finally, he didn't know what else to do. I think those things were like 85% body putty. I mean, he said, if they ever have a wreck, you know, that's about all you could do back then. And it was back in 1970, I guess, around there. He said, if they ever have a wreck, it's going to shatter like a piece of glass. But it went to Hershey and got a national first. And it looked really good. And we've seen it since then. And, I mean, it has survived. But it was a shot full of, it had been corrupted by simply being in the elements of the world without being protected from the elements. Now, Satan wants you to waste away. He wants to waste your life. He wants you to be unproductive. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on the whole armor of God. You may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Listen, he's trying to catch us. He's trying to shoot us full of holes. But what I need to do is just continue to say, I'm to walk by faith. What does that mean? Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. It means I'm supposed to be doing what God says. I can see what he wants me to do. I can learn what he wants me to do. But if I don't obey it, I'm not living by faith yet. So I have to actually do it. Now, we can escape the corruption, the decay that's in the world through lust. Let me give you another principle. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. And you'll understand this if we get a little further. I've said this before. Number two, we reap what we sow. Now listen to this passage there in Galatians 6. And put it in this context. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap, there's that word again, corruption. Hang on. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So in other words, you sow sin, you're going to reap corruption. They say it this way. You invest your time and your energy and your finances and your heart on sinful things, you will surely get what sin gives. That's what you're going to get. Now, sin produces death. Now, if you invest your time and your energy and put your heart in the things that the Spirit of God wants, by walking in the Spirit, you will get what the Spirit produces. And the Spirit gives life. So keep that in your mind. We reap what we sow. Number three. Hang on. You escape the corruption by escaping the lusts. Now, what does it say in our passage? It says escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now we don't escape it through the lust. The corruption we get through the lust. The lust, anything that we are desiring, maybe we shouldn't have. Now remember, we talked about this. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He says, they're going to be caught in the net. He says you're going to get back on them what they're trying to do. You're going to reap what you sow. Not go very far. That's a point. You escape the corruption by escaping the lust. Number four. Corruption is what we reap for loving the lusts of the world. Our lusts lie to us. And they tell us we cannot live without certain sins or sinfulness in our lives. And you know, it's amazing. You could buy, you go out to some nice restaurant, and sometimes they'll come by with the tray of desserts. Ever notice they do that? They come and they come up here to you and they go, "One of you be interested." You know what I'm saying? "One of you be interested in some dessert." Well, I wasn't thinking about it, but now I'm thinking about it. Now, the corruption is what we reap for loving the lust of the world. Our body is saying, "I can't live without that piece of cheesecake." That's what our body says. And then you get all done and you think, "I'm not sure I'm done." About halfway through that second piece, you're going, "I'm never doing this again." Until the next time you go to that restaurant. And you remember, I mean, you're sitting there in that chair looking at the cheesecake the second time, and you remember what you felt like when you got done. And somehow you think it's going to be different this time. And you take another piece. you and your wife are having trouble, just don't communicate anymore. She's doing her own thing. Maybe she's spending all her time with the kids, and the biggest kid she has is her husband, and, you know, he needs some time too, and walks into the office, and the lady at the desk says, well, good morning. She's all dialed up in her office clothes, and she says, oh, you don't look like you feel good. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm all right. Oh, tell me what's going on. You got a problem? Well, it's stuff there at the house. Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll come in at lunch, and we can talk about it. And so you end up at the lunchroom, and all of a sudden he starts spilling his guts to this other woman. And that happens a couple of times, you know, the next few weeks. And finally says, you know what? My wife doesn't understand me anymore. We've just grown apart. I just don't love her anymore. But this lady over here, now she knows me. And he said, you know what, if I just had her, life would be good. If I just had her, then I'd be able to get through the day. But you know what? His wife at home has been with him for 20 years. There's probably a reason why she's acting like that. She's known him for 20 years. This new gal, she doesn't know it. She doesn't know who he is. She didn't know all his problems. She doesn't know his feet stink in the morning, his breath in the, you know, I mean, she didn't know all these things. Everything's fine. And all of a sudden, our lusts take over. Now, I guarantee you, corruption's going to occur in that family. And in that relationship. Why? Because of the lust. A desire that shouldn't have been there, misplaced. Our lusts lie to us, and they tell us we cannot live without certain things. Ephesians 4:17 says this, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, the emptiness of their mind. In other words, they don't know any better. Their mind is not filled with the knowledge of God. Their mind is not filled with the Word of God. He says, now you're a Christian. You don't have to walk around empty-headed. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to have a successful life. He doesn't want the corruption of the world in your life. He wants you to escape that corruption. You don't have to walk like that as they darken. You're being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, sexual desires, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is Jesus. Ah, but you see, have you been taught by him? Our passage is saying, if we want to escape the corruptions in the world through lust, we're going to have to grow in him. We are going to have to add to our faith. It's more than, I mean, you say, well, I've got to work to get to heaven. No. You got heaven. And you got access to everything in heaven. You got access to all the wisdom. The Holy Spirit's willing to teach you all things. But are you willing to listen to him and learn all things? It's going to take some effort, some energy. He says, I don't want you to put off concerning the former conversation, the old way of life, which is corrupt. Here it is, Ephesians, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Our lust says we've got to have these things or we just can't live right. We won't be happy until we have it. Won't be happy until I get that 2023 SUV. I won't be happy as long as I'm stuck with her or I'm stuck with him until I get that person over there. And then they find out who you are and they don't want you either. It will lie to you. Your lust will tell you the lie. But what happens when you have the lust? The lust lie to us, but they bring the corruption. Now, listen, if your lust lie to you, don't get involved with a liar. So don't get involved with those lusts. They will lie to you. Bible says, deny thyself. You know what that means? That doesn't mean I'm not going to eat peanut butter. Deny thyself. Oh, I'm not going to eat Reese's cups anymore. That's not what I was talking about. What did Peter do when Jesus was arrested? What did he do? Denied the Lord. You know what that meant? He disowned him. He says, I don't know who that guy is. Remember that? He told the little girl, I don't know who he is. He denied. He says, as far as I'm concerned, he's nobody. It doesn't count. I have no idea. He's not part of my life. When it says, deny thyself, you know what it's saying? I got to decide that this flesh, these lusts, these problems, this sinfulness that I have, I am going to disown that. I'm going to disown who I am sinfully. I'm supposed to take off the old man and put on the new man. I need to be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Obeying what God is telling me through His Word, not obeying what my flesh is telling me. The flesh is going to talk. Listen, you're nobody. You're dead to me. I am crucified with Christ. Never yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. You see what I'm saying here? You see, I don't understand why my life is full of all these problems, because we're making decisions based on the emptiness of our head. Listen, it's not full of all the things that God wants to tell us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but we're missing out because we won't add to our faith. Well, I'm here at church. Listen, again, you can know all the information, but until it becomes part of your heart, part of who you are, until you basically deny the old man and say, I'm going to live in the new man. But see, the problem is a lot of folks don't know how to live in the Spirit because they don't understand the Word of God. They haven't learned it. They've learned about it. They've talked about it. You know, I'm not trying to be mean, but you know, you got the CE Christians, Christmas and Easter. And they think the only thing the preacher ever preaches about is Bethlehem and the crucifixion and resurrection. And they think we've learned it all. That's because they only show up on Christmas and Easter. That's why sometimes I don't do a resurrection message on Easter. Because this is the first time they've been here since last year. There's something else they need to know. I had someone who complained, why didn't you do a resurrection message? It's Easter. I know. But I got folks out here that don't know anymore. They need to realize some things. No wonder they're not growing in the Lord, because they're not adding to their faith. Jeremiah 17 says this. Thus saith the Lord. Remember, if you've been here on Sunday morning during Sunday school, Brother Nathan's been going through Jeremiah, and they were headed toward captivity because they just wouldn't listen to the Lord. Now God didn't want to throw them away. He would have taken them back any old time in there. But they finally crossed over the line and said, okay, well, all the things are set. You're going. Might as well be. Just get ready to go. And we're going to have to go to the woodshed for 70 years, but I'll bring you back in 70 years, and I'll let you have Jerusalem back. But anyway, in chapter 17, it says, thus saith the Lord, watch, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now, if you were with us some months ago, we talked about the curse. That was last year. The curse. God is not some voodoo magic guy going, man, putting a curse on you. That's not what it's talking. That's not what it means. If you go back and study it through, basically what the curse means is God's going to leave you to the disposal of the curse that's in the world. The world was cursed when Adam and Eve sinned. What happened? He lifted his hand of blessing. We can have his hand of blessing back on him when we receive Christ as our Savior. Okay? And we'll be freed from the curse. But in other words, what it said, cursed the man that trusteth in man. In other words, You're not looking for the blessings of God. You're not getting the blessing of God. What you're doing, you are at the disposal of all with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You're doing it on your own. That's a dangerous place to be. It's not safe. Watch. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath or the tumbleweed in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Who wants to live like that? You know, there are people who live their lives in a wilderness. And there's people who are saved who live their lives in a wilderness. They're up, they're down. Oh, they get straightened up for a little bit. They pour some water on and a few sprouts come up, you know, in their life. Pour the word of God in there, and they do it for a little bit. And they say, boy, look at that. Isn't that wonderful? I got a few sprouts here. I must be doing okay. And they wander back out into the world and follow their lust again. And it brings corruption again, and everything dies. You know, you do that enough times, after a while, nobody wants to believe you when you say you're trying. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Sounds like Psalm 1, doesn't it? And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Watch this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Bible says, don't trust your heart. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. What are we trying to do today? Escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Your own heart says, you need that, you need this. And listen, we're walking just like a bunch of the Gentiles who don't even know any better because we haven't added to our faith or not added to our faith enough or enough different topics. And so there we are, we're making decisions, and we end up living in a wilderness because we trust our heart. You know what the world says? You hear it all the time. Trust your heart. It'll be good. I saw something, it wasn't too long ago, with some kind of TV show, and this child is coming out trans. And you know what they said? Trust your heart. No, you're trusting your flesh. And yeah, you're trusting your heart, but your heart is deceitful. And he that trusts his heart is a fool. Tell you what you need to trust. Trust in the Lord. He that trusts in the Lord shall be blessed. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You say, well, I know how I feel on the inside. What you feel are the lusts. And they're just as wrong for you as they are anybody else. Well, don't you love these people? Oh, sure I do. Well, would you let them in their church? Oh, I'd let them in my church. Sure I would. We've had couples in here who were living together, who had never gotten married. Now, they're not going to teach Sunday school. They're not going to sing in the choir. They're not going to represent the church. But I want them here. I want them to know God loves them. But I also want them to know this. Right now, they're living according to their own lusts. And it's going to reap corruption. It may not be great. It may not be a lot. But it will never be as sweet as it's supposed to be. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I'm going to have to stop there. We're not done. Every single one of us have experienced corruption in our lives somewhere along the way. So I'm not beating. We've all done it. But the more we give into our lust, our natural desires, the more we trust our old fleshly heart, our deceitful heart, and our deceitful lust, the more we trust that, the more corruption is going to show up. Now, wait a minute. We reap what we sow. To put that principle in there. You say, well, I've been doing this. I'm fine. Yeah, but you sow now. You don't reap now. You sow now and you're going to reap down the road. It may be in a few months. It may be in a few years. It may be in a couple decades. But we will reap what we've been sowing. And some of us can look back at our lives and say, you know what? That didn't work out. And we turn right around. We're not careful. We'll do exactly the same things. Like we'll give it another shot. And we find out, well, that didn't work out. But see, we were following the same old sinful lust in our lives. We got this. We got to deny ourselves, throw that away, and get this book out here and find out what God says we're supposed to do. Read the book of Proverbs. If I were you, I'd read one chapter every day. I've done that for years. There's 31 chapters. Today's the 12th. Read chapter 12. Tomorrow's the 13th. Read chapter 13. So I had a big meeting, didn't get a chance to read on the 13th. I messed up already. Fine. You'll come back next month and read it. You'll get there again. Just read the next day, the 14th chapter, whatever it is. Just keep reading that thing over and over and over. It will give you discretion and wisdom. We read that at the very beginning. How can I escape the corruption that's in the world through lust? By following the Word of God. And yet some of us will live in that corruption and compound that corruption. You say, well, can God give us the years of the locust ate? He can, but doesn't promise it. Sometimes it does work out that way. And sometimes it's sweeter than you ever thought. But you know what? I'm not trying to be discouraging, but you don't know what you've missed out. If we had just started following the Word of God instead of following our lust years ago. But His mercies are new every morning. Forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead and to the high, to the praise, the high calling of God. God's got something for me. Forget those things. They're gone. Can't fix it. But we can start today. Don't add any more corruption.